evening and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Here are some of the stories we are covering today, Monday, May 12, 2014. Only 2 days after a new cessation of hostilities agreement is signed, President Kiir accuses opposition of violating the deal.
These things have just happened within 1 day. The orders I gave my forces since that night when I signed this agreement, I told them to stop wherever they were at that moment.
And a peace and reconciliation group says communities have the capacity to heal if both sides adhere to the signed agreement.
We hope that it will be fully implemented and that it marks not only the end to the conflict and spilling the blood of our people, but beginning of peace and reconciliation for our nation.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. President Salva Kiir claims the ongoing fighting will likely delay national elections by as much as 3 years. Mr. Kiir made the comment at the airport yesterday. As Philip Aleu reports for VOA from Juba, he also accused the opposition of already violating the cessation of hostility agreement he and former Vice President Riek Machar signed on Friday. But rebel fighters insist it is the government that attacked their positions.
President Salva Kiir says government forces were attacked in Unity and Afan Island states less than 7 hours after the latest cessation of hostilities agreement went into effect. He says the fighting happened outside the Unity state capital, Bentiu, and near the state's oil fields. He says in Afan Island state, the fighting was in the village of Matiang.
These things have just happened within 1 day. The orders I gave my forces since that night when I signed this agreement, I told them to stop wherever they were at that moment. Nobody should advance against forces of Riek Machar, and our forces are respecting these orders.
Opposition military spokesperson Luruai Kwang vehemently denies the allegation, says government forces reoccupied Bentiu last night.
As we sit there inside Bentiu town, and they are shelling our positions as well as civilian population, including some of the IDP sites. There is serious fighting and a lot of shelling by the government troops. Because they entered, and then they have entered, they have taken up the positions, and they are shelling with heavy artillery and other mortar fire.
Defense Minister Kwal Manyang Juk says he has not received any reports of fighting anywhere in the country today. At the same time, both sides claims they are still committed to upholding the latest peace deal, which, in addition to ending all fighting, calls for the two sides to give humanitarian agencies access to people caught in combat zones. Both sides also agreed to negotiate terms for creating a transitional government. President Kiir says due to the fighting, national elections, which were supposed to take place next year, will have to be delayed by at least 2 years.
Elections will not be held in 2015 because reconciliation between the people will have to take time. The election has to be extended for 2 or 3 years so that this interim government remain in power and elections can be held in 2017 or 2018. I would have preferred elections to be held in 2015 so that these people, the rebels, can come back and contest.
Mr. Kiir says when Hele Mariam Desalegn, the Prime Minister of Ethiopia, leaned on both leaders to sign the deal, he, the President, joked about the strong arm tactics.
The Prime Minister told Riek Machar that you guys will not leave this place if you do not sign this agreement. Nobody will leave this place. He had told me the same statement in the morning, that if you don't sign this document, I will imprison you here. I told him, if you imprison me in this nice home, I am sure I will be well looked after. I said there is no need to return to Juba. I will stay here with you and you will feed me for free.
Mr. Kiir says he will head back to Addis Ababa in 1 month for a follow-up meeting with Riek Machar on the peace deal. For BOA News, I'm Philip Tonaleu in Juba.
Lucy Pony contributed on this report from Nairobi. The Ethiopian Foreign Ministry strongly denies that Ethiopia's Prime Minister forced President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar to sign the agreement. or risk being imprisoned?
Well, basically, this is out of the tradition of the interactions and connections among African leaders. There has never been a threat. There has never been such a threat among any African leader. Actually, this is out of the very known and obvious practices among African leaders. And this is something that has been taken out of the context. And it's not, leave alone Ethiopia, it's not an intention of any African leader, or for that matter. We, as an African, we don't treat our leaders, we don't treat our neighboring countries. This is out of the norm of the relationship that we have been practicing among ourselves. And this is obviously out of the blue.
Help me to clarify this. You're saying there was no threat, nobody was forced to sign the agreement?
Of course, definitely there is no. South Sudan is our friendly country, is the closest country that we deal with, and there is no any intention, there cannot be any intention. There will never be any intention to threat, leave alone their leaders, even their citizens for that matter. Because this is actually something very unique and something unheard of, and we are surprised by this news.
And how would you describe the mood in Addis Ababa last week on Friday? Were these two leaders friendly? Was everything done in a peaceful environment?
Well, it was taken as a breakthrough that this bloody war among brothers and sisters in southern Sudanese is about to be stopped because of the agreement between the contending leaders. And the mood is that everybody is jubilant. I think South Sudanese are jubilant, Africans are jubilant. Everybody is on the moon. I mean, the international community also has to celebrate this, because this is actually a move, a historic move, a breakthrough that has been taken by both leaders to overcome this bloody thing that we don't need it.
That was Dina Mufti, the spokesperson for the Ethiopian Foreign Ministry, speaking with me this past hour from the Ethiopian capital, Addis Ababa. An umbrella group trying to reconcile South Sudan's communities divided by the ongoing crisis welcomes the agreement signed by President Kiir and rebel leader Riek Machar. Charlton Doki has details for VOA from Juba.
Chuol Rambang, chairperson of South Sudan's Peace and Reconciliation Commission, who spoke on Saturday on behalf of the National Platform for Peace and Reconciliation, says the framework peace agreement is long overdue.
We hope that it will be fully implemented and that it marks not only the end to the conflict and spoiling the blood of our people, but beginning of peace and reconciliation for our nation.
Rambang says unlike the earlier cessation of hostilities agreement, which was breached by both sides, this latest one must be respected by both sides and the country's different ethnic communities so the country can move forward.
We encourage the leadership, commanders, and combatants to fully adhere to the letter and spirit of the agreement and implement the decision.
President Kiir also signed an agreement with the Jonglei-based South Sudan Liberation Movement Cobra Faction Rebels, led by David Yao Yao, which Rambang also welcomed.
We trust that the signing of both agreements herald in new found spirit of reconciliation and tolerance between our leaders and people.
Rambang says it's critical that hostilities end immediately.
If people are fighting, it will be very difficult for any reconciliation to be carried out. But the moment the hostilities, the fighting calm down, now the room for reconciliation will be very easy and you will be able to assess everybody, all parties. You will be able to assess them so that they come together and you now just to dialogue.
Peter Gwang Akich, deputy chairperson of the South Sudan Peace and Reconciliation Commission, says a political disagreement between the president and the former vice president morphed into a deadly ethnic conflict that spiraled out of control.
Now with this agreement, people have come down to the realities that this has not been a tribal conflict. It has actually been issue of governance, issue of power. So at least the tension between the two communities will now be eased.
And Gwang says, once people see Mr. Kiir and Machar standing side by side, He is hopeful that tensions between communities will be dramatically reduced. For VOA News, I am Charlton Doki in Juba.
The government last week signed a peace deal with another rebel group. Kenon Clement Janda, the head of the government's delegation to peace talks with rebel leader David Yaoyao, says the former commander plans to come to Juba within a week.
He will come as soon as possible. My counterpart, the guy who negotiated on his behalf, General Khalid Boutros, is coming to Juba tomorrow, and I will proceed to report to David Yaoyao, and from that point, I think David Yaoyao will come.
Bishop Paride Taban, the lead mediator in the talks, say Yaoyao's troops are also scheduled to arrive in Juba in a matter of weeks. He says they will be integrated into the National Army. Taban says Yaoyao forces will also come to Juba to turn over their weapons and be integrated in the National Army.
The signing of this agreement must be followed by a sustained commitment of the parties to see the successful and peaceful implementation.
Janda says government will honor the agreement to develop a special administrative area within the greater Pibor region and will begin working to improve the area.
We have also provided for a special fund under the presidency to pay attention to the fact that Greater Pibor has not been developed for a long time, so that there is a speedy way of responding to development in that area.
Yaoyao had been leading a rebellion against the government for more than 2 years. We now move to neighboring Sudan. Sudan's Minister of Information says there is a new era of political and press freedom in his country. This comes as thousands of supporters of Communist Party yesterday held their first outdoor meeting in years without being dispersed by security forces. While some have expressed reservation about the new era of freedom, the Information Minister Adam Ahmed Bilal says, told James Batty, at least five other parties recently held rallies without disruption.
Actually, since last January, when the president said that they are calling for the national dialogue, then the intention of widening the space of freedom and movement of political parties. Now in our country, there is no any sort of security on the press, in the media. The parties can make their rallies inside their headquarters without any permission. So far, we have more than five or six rallies done by the different parties in Sudan. They say what they like, they do what they like, they move freely inside and outside the country.
The last time we talked with you, Mr. Minister, it was about that your government require permission. Do you still require permission for political rallies to take place?
Outside, if they want to wait for a courtyard or outside their places, the requirement is just notification before 48 hours. That is all.
People are still skeptical because they think that as long as the Sudan's security forces have the right to detain people, they think that this might not last.
You know, I agree there is no trust between the opposition and the government. But we are building that by practice. And they have tested the seriousness of the government. And I assure you, this is going to be widening. But at all will be any sort of interruption. We are looking forward for new era. We are looking forward for a national dialogue which can bring the country to a roadmap whereby we can reach some sort of a consensus about our problems and about our future. This is quite serious.
When would this political dialogue begin?
In fact, the problem is within the opposition and not the government and the parties which are governing now. Because we agree that it should be 7 + 7 + 1. One is the president. And already the government parties already accused their 7. The opposition, they said they want to make it 10 + 10. We agreed about that. We are looking forward for the opposition to choose, and we are ready to start. And we have now positive signals from the rebels that they are going to join the dialogue. And this will actually lead us to a new era.
That's Sudan's Information Minister Ahmed Bilal speaking to VOA's James Bati yesterday from Khartoum.
This is a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
To protect yourself and your family from sickness and disease, it's important to be careful about water. Bottled water is safe to drink and cook with. But if you can't buy it, be sure to purify your water by boiling it or treating it with an approved water sanitation kit. To destroy microorganisms that cause disease or even kill, you need to boil water for at least 5 minutes. Then wait to allow any sediment to settle and let the water cool down before drinking. To help protect you, your children, and your family from sickness, make sure all your water is safe to drink.
That was a message in the public interest from VOA Africa.
You're tuned to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, how to convince girls to stay in school. That story is coming up next.
You don't want to miss VOA's South Sudan in Focus. You can hear us on one of our FM affiliate stations around the country or on the web at voanews.com/South Sudan. In Juba, listen to South Sudan in Focus at 8 p.m. on 93.5. You can also find us on shortwave at 11995, 13870, and 15180 kilohertz. Or download our podcast on iTunes. That's South Sudan in Focus on the Voice of America.
What do you think? People speak out on important questions. The question today:
what is the importance of elections in your country?
It gives us a chance to view, to give our opinions through a leader. Because when you elect a leader, it shows us that that's the kind of leader you want.
We get a chance to express our desires to electing a leader who will represent us and in focusing on our problems so that we can have a better tomorrow.
With leaders elected, we are able to get people to move our country's economy as long as we've got the right leaders taking control.
What do you think? A daily discussion of important questions from VOA.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus. Drinking clean drinking water is becoming increasingly hard to find in Juba, forcing most people to turn to boiled water. One local non-governmental organization says more than 1 million bottles of water are consumed every day in Juba, creating a massive amount of trash in the city that has few options for recycling. Anthony Moga in Juba looks into one new initiative that is putting people to work.
About 20 kilometers outside of Juba, on the road to Yei, there is an enormous dam site. The trash flows across deep valleys in an area the size of 5 football pitches, and most of it consists of empty plastic water bottles, soda cans, and tires. An informal recycling program exists at the dam sites. Dozens of women and children show up each morning and dig through the trash to find plastic bottles and metal scraps items. 22-year-old Esther Keji says she sells the items to traders from Uganda and Kenya to take the scrap back to their country for recycling.
This work is really hard. We are just working every day collecting the plastics and the metals. Sometimes one can get money. We are praying to God to find us nice jobs, because here there is no benefit. We are just suffering every day in the sun without help.
Keji says the recycling cannot keep up with the amounts of trash piling up in Juba. She says she can see the dam site grows larger every day. Olivier Snowden, the program advisor for the local NGO Environmental Rehabilitation Program, says the amounts of trash could do serious harm to Juba's environment in the future.
This type of plastic bottles were only invented last century, so no one is able to really say how long it takes because we have no experience of it. But experts say that it takes maybe 1,000 years. So they will stay here. I mean, if you put a bottle in the ground today, the grandchildren of your grandchildren will find it there exactly in the same way. It will not decompose.
Snowden says about a year ago, they came out with the idea of recycling the discarded bottles and turn them into locally used items.
Recycling is really a good way also to prevent extracting more oil than we need. It's a resource here in South Sudan, and you can see, you visited the dumping site, you see how many people can make a living from extracting this instead of leaving into the ground. We process it, it's turned into some cloth, it's turned into plastic ropes, at least it's got a second life.
Snowden machines at the plant in Juba converts the bottles into a number of different items. He says they are able to recycle 50,000 plastic bottles each day, which provide jobs for hundreds of women at the dump sites, including 31-year-old Victoria Alex.
They use a weight scale. We get paid 1 pound for 4 kilos of plastic bottles. We are benefiting because one cannot earn a living by staying in the house without doing anything. That is why we come here, so that we may be able to get a meal for our children.
Snowden says the women are not only helping their families, but everyone in Juba by reducing trash and creating something useful. For VOA News, I am Anthony Moga in Juba.
From Juba, we move to Wau. Too many girls in South Sudan drop out of school because they are either needed at home or because of other cultural practices, including early marriage. Education officials in Western Bahr al-Ghazal state are trying to change that. The education ministry says only 2 out of 10 girls who enroll in primary one complete their primary school studies. As Michael Atit reports from Wau, the ministry recently held an awareness-raising campaign to encourage girls to stay in school.
Nearly 60 girls, ranging from 13 to 20 years old, from 30 primary and secondary schools within Wau County, attended the first training session in the state capital. The 2 days workshop was not only aimed at encouraging the girls to finish their primary education, but to empower them to deal with physical and biological changes they experience as they grow into young women. 13-year-old Ajok Nancy, a primary 4 pupil who participated in the workshop, says she wants to become a teacher.
Education is good. It helps us to learn respect and to learn how to do things, to learn how to make job. Girls' education is important to help your parents and to get married too, to take your children also to school.
Workshop facilitator Maria Goretti Namono: unfortunately, far too many girls in South Sudan drop out of school at an early age. She says many communities in South Sudan look at girls as sources of wealth.
We would like these girls at this age to know what it means to be in school, to remain in school, to finish school, because it is the age whereby teenagers are trying to grow. They grow and they want to find out many things. They don't know that some of these things can be a danger to their education.
17-year-old Safar Muhammad Deng, who is scheduled to take her primary school leaving examinations soon, says she wants to become a doctor when she completes her education.
Whatever you are willing to do in your life is possible through education. I have gained information about how to keep hygiene and how to study, and we should also tell our sisters. Education will help in the future. You will get a job or anything you want in your life.
The training is expected to continue for several months. Every week, the organizers will select girls from several schools across the state. Officials say they expect the girls to act as peer educators when they return to their home, schools, and communities. For VOA News, I am Michael Atit in Wau.
We now move to Nigeria. The search for the missing school girls is going on in Nigeria, with a lot of countries offering to help. For VOA, Heather Murdoch has more from Nigeria.
This is a protest in the Nigerian capital Sunday.
Bring back our girls now and alive!
That quickly turned into this. Before the police dispersed the protesters and the rally ended. Another weekend protest scheduled in Kaduna, a city known for sectarian violence, never happened. After both mosques and churches were attacked, parts of the city are under 24-hour curfew, and all protests are banned. During the weekend, police occupied locations around the city where rallies were planned. Protest organizer Ibrahim Garbawala held a news conference after the rally failed to materialize.
We were shocked even at last night. The venue, which is the Murtala Square, where we agreed that we're going to hold the protest, was already dominated by security personnel with their tankers and heavy machineries.
Walla says the weaponry on the streets of Kaduna this weekend would better be deployed in the northeast, where security forces are searching for nearly 300 teenage girls, believed to be held hostage in the forest by Islamist militants known as Boko Haram. Kaduna City has long been a hotspot for political and community violence, and nearly 1,000 people were killed there in post-election violence in 2011. As presidential elections approach in 2015, Kaduna residents fear more bloodshed. In Kaduna, anger over general insecurity has intensified since the girls were kidnapped, says Walla.
We are telling people to understand that the crisis in Nigeria, the crisis in Northeast, is not being perpetrated by the poor man,
yes,
but is being perpetrated by the politicians.
Yes.
Security crises in Kaduna, part of Nigeria's Middle Belt, where the mostly Christian South meets the mostly Muslim North, is often attributed to politicians hiring thugs to intimidate or punish voters. In the Northeast, Boko Haram insurgents have killed thousands of people in the past 5 years, including hundreds of schoolchildren. The mid-April kidnapping sparked protests in Nigeria and around the world, demanding the girls' safe return. Officially, the Nigerian government supports the protest movement. Nigerian police spokesperson Frank Mba appeared Monday in Abuja.
The position of the Nigerian police force is clear. Nigerians have got the right to peaceful assembly, to peaceful association, to peaceful protest, as long as they do so within the confines and ambits of the law.
In the past week, the United States, the United Kingdom, France, Canada, China, and Israel have agreed to provide material support for the rescue effort, a task U.S. Defense Secretary Chuck Hagel says will be a huge challenge. In a video distributed to journalists last week, the man who claims to lead Boko Haram, Abu Bakr Shekau, says his group is holding the girls as slaves to be sold as wives. Heather Murdoch for VOA News, Abuja.
And that's our show for this Monday. We now leave you with the song Stand Alone by Kay Deng.
In my society, you made me lose my ability. You made me disabled in mind. Due to old failure, spine line. You made me cut myself out of my youth. As if I'm injured, oh illness, but not. As if I'm weak and lose talent, but not. You made me unable to operate normally, temporarily. Unable to move and think fairly. You made me very emotional ill. I saw you need me to be unsuccessful in life. That's why I'm unaccessible. You made me fail to think of any practical solution. Soon own a surprise of revolution. Yeah, I'm standing here. Cause I can do it now. Cause I can do it now. Yeah, I'm standing there. I have to stand alone for the reason why. You made me blind, not to see anything. You made me deaf, not to hear anything. You lock my nose, not to breathe anymore. You control my tongue, not to stain itself. You paralyze my arm, not to stretch itself. You paralyze my leg, not to move anymore. Yeah, I'm standing there. Cause I can do it now, cause I can do it now. Yeah, I'm standing there. Cause I got access to the process. I'm owning access to the success. Yeah, I'm standing there. Cause I can do it now, cause I can do it now. Solution in my society, need to not do things that people expect me to do. Look, I'm not a chip satisfactory, upstandard. You made me fail, accept to test. Right now, I'm ready.
We have been listening to Kay Deng with the song Stand Alone. I'm John Tanza in Washington. Thanks for listening. And join us again tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
A mistake may come and bind us back in birth. I suggest it must be no. Eyes on me from my top to my broom. Young is me, fresh man, seeking for...